Alright, so in part two of this tutorial, we're going to add some new features. Maybe add a bunch of rocks, have some collisions in there, and we've got to update some scores. What do you think about that, Ali?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Welcome to Unity 5 Jumpstart Part 2. We're going to cover ammo collisions in this part. If you recall from the kickoff video, we actually wanted to talk about having ammo power-ups. Again, that was a little bit out of scope, so we're just going to cover the basic collisions so that when you're shooting at the rocks should disappear. And when the rocks fall and hit one of the players, we want the player's health to go down. So a quick agenda for this, step by step, we'll cover how to add rocks by adding sprites to your game. And then we're going to drop rocks using a rock spawner and a script. The rock spawner will be a game object, and we'll have a script attached to the game to take care of that. And then obviously we have to enable rock ammo collisions to make sure that when the rocks are hit by ammo, they get destroyed. And then finally, we'll update the scores. We'll see how that goes. And finally, we'll play the game. So again, let's get a visual on this before we jump into building the game itself. In the prefabs, we'll have a new rock that gets generated with the code. We'll drop the rock using a rock dropper script, as I mentioned earlier. And there's a rock spawner empty game object we'll create to take care of that. We'll use circle colliders to make sure we can detect rocks and things that are colliding with rocks, such as the spaceships in this case. We'll update the score for each of the UI elements that are on the screen. We'll use the script to make sure that when a laser hits an item, things are getting updated on the screen as well, on the score elements. And finally, we'll play the game. All right, so let's jump into it. So I have a bunch of different zip files in this progress folder where I've captured each of the game projects that I've worked on as I've worked on this project on my own. So this game 02.zip file is the complete version of, if I may zoom in here a little, game 02 is the complete version from part 2. So we're going to start with game 01 because that's the one that was the last part from the previous game. So let's go to assets, go to scenes. I'm going to go ahead and open this game.unity. So I'm going to go ahead and put all these zip files to my website as I continue to make progress. That way, when you follow the video tutorials, you can also download the completed project or download the previous project to work on each part by yourself. So here you'll notice I don't have a background yet. Again, there's no rocks, no spawner. So the first thing we'll do is let's create an empty game object and call it the rock spawner. So I'm going to click create in the hierarchy. Click create empty, and again this game object here that was created, you'll see it's right in the hierarchy there. Another way to create it is if I went to game object in the top menu and clicked on create empty there as well, that would also work. Alright, so once this is created, let's go rename it rocks spawner. Again, to rename I could just hit F2 on my keyboard, or I could right click and rename. So we're going to add a background to this as well. So in order to add a background, we'd have to get a new graphic in. But first, you'll notice that you can't actually see the rock spawner on the screen. So when I click rock spawner, I can mouse over the scene and then click F on my keyboard to focus on it. But again, I don't really see it anywhere. So let's lift it somewhere else where we can see it, and let's also color it. So in the specter, you'll notice there's a little colored cube here. When you click on that, you can change the color of this invisible rock spawner object. So let's do that. So I can choose yellow, and you'll notice right in the middle of our scene, there's a rock spawner. Well, we don't want the rocks to spawn right in the middle of the scene. So let's go ahead and maybe make it higher. So I'm going to click on the top left, the move tool, which is the second icon there. So let's click on the second icon, and then I'll drag this green arrow and make it higher. And there you go. The rock spawner is right outside the area. Okay, so we want to add a background, so let's do that. So if I go to project and click on my sprites, you'll notice there's already a background right here. If I go ahead and drag it to the game, again, it's kind of big right now, so I want to make sure that it attaches to the camera scene that we have right now. I can go ahead and change the size for that. So I can click on the resize tool. Again, it's the third tool, one, two, three, four, the fourth button on the very top. And I can go ahead and click on the background, And then make it a little smaller, maybe. So again, it's up to you where you want to place it. So if I recall correctly, when I was dragging it around previously, I remember some of the numbers that I used before. So I'm just going to go ahead and say reset so I can put it back in the middle. And the numbers that I used was for the scale, I use an X of 0.575. Again, notice that is the exact width of the camera, more or less. And then the second part was the Z-axis. So I'm going to change that scale to another number, 0.3. Actually, I meant the Y-axis. Let's fix that. If you recall, X and Y are the two coordinates that we'll use for two-dimensional game. X and Z is when you're looking at the flat surface on a typical 3D game, where Y is pointing upwards. So I'm going to go ahead and zoom into it just a little. And you'll notice that if I click on the background, I'm just going to hit F on my keyboard, get to focus on it. So now the background is sort of more or less aligned with this. So the background really doesn't do anything except for we're going to use the rock spawner to use the width of this background to drop rocks. All right. So let's attach the rock dropper script to the camera. So if I click on the main camera, you'll notice it doesn't have any scripts on it. If I click on Add Component, I can go to Scripts, and there is a rock dropper script. Now the rock dropper script has a bunch of game objects there because these are public objects that are created in my script. It says rock spawner, rock, and background. They have not been assigned. We're going to drag some of these into the script. So if I click on the rock spawner and drag it directly onto the script. Now, if you remember how to drag things, you have to click on the object which is being displayed in the spectra panel, and then when you drag the next object, you shouldn't just click on it. So what happens is if I had main camera selected and it's showing the rock dropper script, and then I click on rock spawner in the hierarchy, it immediately changes what's displayed in the spectra panel. So when I click on main camera, I would start dragging rock spawner right away without normally clicking on it. The next item here is rock. So in order to drag the rock, I will find it in my prefabs. So in prefabs, again, I have a rock. So I'll drag that rock and then drag it in there. And now to add a background, I can drag the background from the hierarchy directly into the background object. And now you'll notice that all of the objects have been assigned. So what will happen if I start playing the game right now? If I click on play, and I'll pick up my controller in my hand and move left and right, and you'll notice the rocks are falling from the top. This is really good. It means that the rock spawner is working. And how is this working? Let's unplay the game. And I don't want the game to be maximized on play, so I'll click on that on the top of the game panel. I'll go ahead and run the game again, and notice the scene. There's a visible rock spawner, and that rock spawner is actually moving left and right. So that shows you how the rock spawner is actually working. So it uses this position of this invisible objects moving left and right, and it creates a relative positioning of this rock that is falling somewhere near the rock spawner. All right, so I'm going to put down my controller, and let's move on to the next step here. We've just attached the rock spawner object. We've added the rock prefab and the background itself, and now let's add some collisions. So a couple of ways to add the collisions. If you click on the project, go to the rock. You'll notice that it already has a Circle Collider 2D with an IsTrigger enabled. Again, this was there before when I did the kickoff video. And if I go on to the red and blue lasers, again, I have a Circle Collider 2D with an IsTrigger on there too. And finally, in the red laser, we have the exact same thing, Circle Collider 2D with IsTrigger. And now onto the players themselves. If I click on player one, I'll scroll down and I notice, oh, there is no colliders here yet. So let's go ahead and add those colliders. I'm going to add Physics 2D, Circle Collider, and change IsTrigger to true. So again, that's what that looks like, Circle Collider 2D with IsTrigger set to enabled. And then click on player two, same thing, add component, Physics 2D, Circle Collider 2D. And now we'll check IsTrigger as well. Now again, what this will do is it'll make sure that the trigger method is called for each of these objects. So finally, we have to make sure that the scores are showing up correctly. Now in my canvas, I only have this one score text element. So let's go ahead and duplicate that. Right click, duplicate. And I will rename the first one score text 1 and the second one score text 2. Let's click on them and make sure they're positioned correctly where you can see them. There's no correct way to position them. You can position them wherever you want. under the rec transform, if I click on that, it says here that I can use shift and alt. Again, on your Mac, it might be different. So ask you to set the pivot and the position. So I'm going to hit both shift and alt on my keyboard. So I can click on this and then maybe select top left. And then do the same thing for score text 2. Click top left. So again, there's different ways to set the pivot, right? Now, you might want to position it somewhere where you can see it. Right now, the text says 0 for both of these. So if I go ahead and click on score text and click on F on my keyboard while I'm on the scene, you'll notice that it's at the very top. That's a really weird position to be in. Now, if I zoom in a little, I can see that it's kind of this dark text. So I might want to make it a little yellow maybe. So I'll change that color. And I can change both of these together. If I select score 1, text 1, and text 2, I can change the color to maybe a yellowish color. That way you can see it better. And maybe lower the text 2 so it's a little lower, right? So it says position Y. Let's make it 20 and see what happens. So again, you'll notice that Y goes upwards. So it goes higher. You definitely don't want that. So let's make that maybe 40, right? Minus 20. There you go. So now that it's minus 20, it should appear a little lower, and that is my player 1 score and player 2 score. Now, obviously, we want the score to say something more than just 0, so we're going to have the code change that. But if you want, for score text 1, I can change that to say player 1 and colon 0, and then let's change that to player 1 score colon 0, and then let's copy that, go to score text 2, and change that text to player 2 score text 0. Now, why am I changing this to these values? It's so that we can go back in the code and we can update these on the fly. Let's go to the scripts, and under scripts we're going to update player shoot. So I'm going to double click player shoot. Again, it's going to launch up in Visual Studio. It might take a few seconds. Again, Visual Studio is a full-fledged IDE right now. The current version takes a few seconds to start up. Now, if you want something faster, you can go with either the built-in MonoDevelop or the super awesome Visual Studio Code. Visual Studio Code is a very lightweight editor that you can use to edit your C# scripts. Now that Visual Studio is open, let's make some changes to a player shoot. Similar to the other script we had where we were keeping track of the player number, I'm going to add a public int player number to player shoot. Again, that is a public int player number that I just added. Next, in the start method, when I'm initializing this, let's go ahead and also initialize the score text correctly. So you'll notice that right now score text, it's finding some score text element. So I want to actually use the player number in this, if I can type that correctly. So right now I have score text plus the player number, which will be 1 or 2. And finally, I have some debug text here that says new score, but let's just change that to say player. And then instead of score, I'll say player plus player number, and maybe put another space in there for score. And this will sort of mimic the placeholder text that I had at the beginning. And again, that should be it. That should be enough for me to go back to Unity and run the game to see if this works. So if I go back to the background, go over my scene and press F to see my backgrounds, let's go ahead and play the game. But before we play the game again, let's change a couple of things here. So score text 1 had some initial text. I'm just going to change that back to 0 because I remember that my code actually doesn't write the entire score text. It just writes a number to the screen. And I'm going to change the text for player 2 to 0 as well. Now, if I go to the prefabs folder, I'll notice I have a blue laser and a red laser. So the blue laser already has a player shoot script attached to it. But it doesn't have a player number and a score text element set. So let's go ahead and fix that. So I'm going to say player number is 1. And to set the score text element, I'm going to drag the score text 1 into the prefabs folder from the hierarchy and do the same thing for score text 2. Now when I click on the blue laser, I can drag the score text 1 from the prefabs folder into this player shoot script in the inspector panel. So let's do the same thing for the red laser. We know the red laser is for player 2, and inside the player 2 script, player shoot script, I just set the player number to 2. So to set the score text there, I'm going to drag score text 2. And now the score text is also assigned. So now we should be able to actually play the game. So let's click on play. And if I see the number is 0 up there, I'm going to go ahead and play it. And I see some debug text at the bottom, but I can also play with player 1. All right, so let's go ahead and review the code, see what we did. So back in Unity, we're going to take a look at rocks. So here I've added a rock to the game, but in the scene itself, you don't see the rock at all. So what do you think is a solution for that, Ali? How do you get an object in the game that doesn't appear in the game initially?
A perfect solution is adding a prefab. Prefabs allow you to create multiple instances of an object. So, for example, if we need to build a forest, we can have a tree prefab, and we can implement multiple trees into the scene.
That's right. And that's also perfect for dropping rocks from the top. So we happen to have this rock spawner on the top, and the rock spawner just moves around and drops rocks. And we have a nice little background, so the rock spawner knows how far to go to the left and to the right to drop those rocks, right?
Right.
But once your rocks are falling and you're shooting at the rocks with your spaceships, you're going to have to detect that the lasers are touching the rocks. And what would you do to detect that?
Definitely need to add some collision. With the prefabs, we have functions, well, scripts that's already in there. We have the circle collider, which doesn't add any physics, but it's on trigger. So when you actually hit the, asteroid?
Yep.
It will disappear.
Exactly. And that's a good thing to mention there. So you mentioned is trigger. So normally, let's say if you have a video game where someone is bouncing off a wall, think of a Pong-like video game where your ball bounces off the wall. You definitely want physics there, right? It bounces off and it behaves like you would expect. But if you have a character that is collecting rings or gems on a scene, obviously you want it to disappear. Similar to that, when you shoot a laser at a rock, you want it to trigger some sort of code. So let's jump in the code and see how that works. So here we have a player shoot script that's assigned to our red laser and also a blue laser prefab. And it gives you a player number there that's also set in the code. So let's take a look at our player shoot script. So back in Visual Studio, if we go to player shoot, all the way on the top, it says player number. So it knows ahead of time which player it is, and I'm assigning the number through Unity. And then down here, I'm setting where the score is going to be set. But before we do that, obviously we have to detect where it enters as a collision. So on trigger enter 2D is triggered just because we have the checkbox selected to enable this trigger. So here you can see we're setting the score text and making sure we've set the updated score text and maybe dumping some debug information into the console there with debug.log. But at the same time, we're saying, hey, let's get the object that's being hit. And as long as it's a rock that's being hit, let's set active to false. So again, that's how we destroy the rock. And how do we know this other game object is a rock? We're doing a quick compare tag. Make sense?
Yep.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about tags as well before we wrap this up. So right now, we have a bunch of rocks here that's coming out of this one prefab. And there is a sorting layer where the rocks will appear. But we also need a tag to be able to indicate where the rock is going to appear. So what I'll do is I'll click on this tag on the top. So the tag over here says rock. So the reason this works is because when you say, and you can define any tags you want, when you say that this rock is going to be tagged as a rock, in the code you can detect whether you hit the tag or not. So we hope you enjoyed part 2 of this Unity video series.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of great things to share in this video.
Yeah, we got rocks, collisions, and scores, and we'll cover a lot more stuff in part 3. Thank you for watching.
Thanks.